We're going to open our Bibles to Revelation. We're going to be looking at Revelation chapter 15. It's a rather short chapter, but has a lot to say in it. As we look at God's Word, we can see the wrath of God is a very important theme that we find in the Scripture. And I've heard people sometimes that out of ignorance say that the God of the Old Testament seems wrathful, but the God of the New Testament is kind. So they almost separate it out and try to make it look like it's two different gods, and that's so foolish. It's the same God. Same God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's the God of mercy. He's the God of mercy in the Old Testament as well. You know, it's always been his plan that he would be the one who would save a people for himself. That's what even the Old Testament's about. And it's showing us that none of us can save ourselves. Last week, whenever we ended the chapter 14 in verse 20, we have this wine press scene. And it's looking forward just a little bit there from this moment in like the timeline. And it's looking at Armageddon. And it's talking about that wine press being trampled outside the city. And the blood come out of the wine press. Came out of the wine press up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs. And I threw a measurement out there in feet, but literally this is around 200 miles whenever you start looking at that. I did my math wrong, and I looked at it further after my son Josiah had talked to me about it. And what we're beginning to see here is that when the wrath of God is finally displayed and poured out all at once, to bring things to a final end so that we can have a new beginning. This is going to be a dreadful event for people that don't know the Lord. We have to understand that. And a lot of times people look at the book of Revelation and they're like put off by it because of seeing the wrath of God. But I want us to think about that, pray that the wrath of God would be complete at this time so that then we have this new beginning. And so that's something we need to actually be looking forward to, amen, as believers. Now, I know that sounds weird, but when we look at chapter 15 here, we're going to see a kind of a depiction of that to look forward. And we see that these seven last plagues are about to be revealed. And, this is all culminating and bringing it down to an end of the destruction of wickedness. How many of you guys want to see wickedness destroyed? I mean, we look around and we see, like the death of innocent people, it just hurts whenever we think about that, right? Just the kind of wickedness and evil things that we see being displayed. What we really need to always make sure that we're thinking as well is that we would completely denounce any wickedness that we may entertain as well, amen? Because like we have a joy in this idea of seeing wickedness destroyed. Well, these last chapters of Revelation are going to show us what it looks like when wickedness gets destroyed. It's going to be a dreadful thing, but at the same time, it's a glorious thing. It actually shows the glory of God. God is awesome in power and strength. It's not like an equal power struggle going on between good and evil here. I'm just telling you, God is just patient. He's been putting up with it because he has a purpose in this that heaven might be populated with all the believers from the beginning of time to the end of this period of time, the end of this age, as Jesus called it. And it's all working toward the displaying of God's glory. God is glorious even when he brings forth his wrath. Can we say amen to that? Just think about that. I used to look at the wrath of God and think, well, what could be glorious about that? Well, the glory is that he's finally destroying wickedness once and for all. Amen. Isn't that awesome? He's got a plan in all of this. Well, let's stand for the reading of chapter 15 there. Revelation chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. After these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And out of the temple came the seven angels having the seven plagues, clothed in pure, bright linen, and having their chests girded with golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with the smoke from the glory, with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed." Let's pray. Dear Father, as we look today at these verses, for some it might be a little puzzling to see how the wrath of God, how your wrath can bring about your glory. But it shows that you are perfectly just. You are perfectly true to your word. For you have said the wages of sin is death. And I love the "but" in that statement. But the gift of God is eternal life to those who are in Christ Jesus. That is our goal, is that great joy of eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so I pray that you would bless us today to be able to rightly see the wrath of God, to rightly understand that it is necessary, and to also see it as something to prompt us to share with others. Because there's many people that we know that we come across every day who are right in line with the wrath of God. They have not repented and given their lives to Jesus. Lord, let us also make sure that our heart is right with you. Help us to make sure that we're not harboring sin in our heart, Lord. Because even as a child of God, you will have to discipline us to help bring it out. Lord, help us to be just so ready in our heart of hearts and so right with you that we can see the glory of God in these verses. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can have a seat. Let's open this up just a little bit more. In that first verse, we see that seven angels, those seven last plagues. Can you remember a time in the Bible where we saw plagues being displayed to set the people of God free? Yeah, exactly. Whenever the Exodus happened from Egypt, to go to the promised land, you can see that there were these 10 plagues that came upon the people of Egypt. And it was to set the people of God free, to set them completely free. It was to subdue the evil that was holding them. And so, you know, think about that even then the wrath of God was displaying the glory of God. It was there to set the people of God completely free from that evil. You know, the final martyrs we see here in verse 2, worshiping God, we see that they are the ones who overcame the beast and over the image of his mark and over the number of his name. They had victory, it says. So how did they have victory? It was by standing firm and literally being willing to give their life up rather than deny Christ, right? Isn't that what we know from the previous chapters? That's how they had the victory, was to be able to go forward like that. And what are they doing at this point? They're standing on a sea of glass, and they have harps of God, and they are worshiping God right before him. And so what an amazing thing to have them worshiping as they are saying, "We have been set free from that power over there." And they're having, in these next couple verses here, we see that they're singing a song. They're worshiping through music. Do you like to worship through song here in the church? You know, I mean, some of us are worried that because we don't have this voice that may be totally pleasing, you know, to where we would be able to win contests with our voice, we won't sing in church. But let me tell you something. Whenever you get to heaven, you're going to be singing. Praise God, we're going to have a perfected body then as well. But don't be afraid to sing now, because, you know, that's going to be one of the wonderful things about being in heaven, is that we're going to be able to sing before the Lord. We're going to be able to worship Him. We're going to be with others who are doing the same. Isn't that awesome? So, you know, right now, whenever we get to come together and do that, it's something we look forward to. I'm really sad my wife wasn't able to come. Many of you know that she's dealing with some flu or something, some bug that's going around. It's really got her down. But, you know, to get to sing with her, I've been doing that now for 25 plus years of going to church with her and enjoying hearing her voice as we sing those praises to the Lord. And get to hear your voice and as we do that, you know, still in my mind, I can hear my mom and my dad and my grandma, who used to sit in the pew behind us, right here in this church, whenever they would come to visit, and I can hear them singing. And, you know, to this day, whenever we sing, certain ones and hymns and certain songs, I can still hear their voices in my mind. And in a way, it kind of makes me a little sad, but then in another way, it makes me happy, because I think now they're actually in heaven singing out to the Lord. Isn't that awesome? You know, and someday I'm going to get to rejoin them. We're getting to see a little glimpse here that even as these seven last plagues are just about to be poured out, you would think this would just be a horribly dreadful time, that even heaven would be mourning, but no, heaven is celebrating at this moment, because it's finally saying, all of this has been persecuting the Christians for all of this time and persecuting God's people will finally be destroyed. Praise the Lord. We need to be warning people now, folks. Because I'm going to tell you, anybody and everybody that has not given their life to Christ in the end are going to experience the wrath of God for the rest of eternity. I want you to think about that. But it still will bring glory to God. Now look at what they're singing here in verses 3 and 4. They sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. True, just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? Who shall not fear you?" You know, this is just another way of saying everybody who will ever make it into heaven will truly fear Him in a proper way and understand His greatness and His power. Even those who do not go to heaven are going to fear God, only in a very different way. They're going to be feeling His wrath being poured out. "Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy." Let's say it together. "For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested." Now, here we see that something's being referenced, and that's the song of Moses here in Revelation chapter 15. So let's back up and see this song of Moses. You'll find it in Exodus chapter 15. And in its context, what we're going to find is this is right after the Red Sea miracle. So tell me, can anybody tell me what happened at the Red Sea? So I'll set up the whole scene here. They are running, you know, they are running toward the Promised Land. They have left because of all these great miracles and these judgments that God has put forth in Egypt that has convinced even Pharaoh to let the people go, to let God's people go. So they leave it says in a mixed multitude, so that meant that there were even some Egyptians that went with them because they saw the glory of God. And so they're leaving, probably around 2 or 3 million people traveling together. And all of a sudden, they noticed that the Egyptian army was after them. And so God separated them with this cloud, and it was there to protect the Israelites. But then as they were going along their way, they got backed up against the Red Sea, and there was no way out. They were like sitting ducks. If God didn't do something, And the army continued to approach. They had chariots, and they were very strong. The Egyptian army was feared in all of the known world. And if God didn't do a miracle, they were in big trouble. Do y'all remember what happened next? What was the first part of this miracle? He told Moses to raise a staff. Y'all remember that part? And then what happened? The water parted. The Red Sea just opened up. And it says, now there's another part of this miracle. And it says, not only did it open up, but it became dry land for them to pass through on. After all the snow and the ice melted around here, what was it like trying to get around? It was like mud, plumb up to your ankles. You know, I was down at the barn the other morning with Emma, and she had her rubber boots on, and she stood in one place too long, and she said, "Daddy, I can't get my boots out of the mud. I'm raising my foot, but my boot ain't coming with it." But I want you to understand, this was the ocean floor. This was the Red Sea floor, and God made it dry for them. How amazing. But then there was another part of the miracle. So they made it all the way through. God held back the Egyptian army. And then after they had made it all the way through to the other side, the Israelites, and they were safely on the other shore, he let the Egyptian army go down into that same parted Red Sea. And do y'all remember what he did? God just closed it in on them. The same parted Red Sea that he used to protect the Israelites to pass through, he kept it parted for them. He used the same Red Sea to come in and just swallow up the Egyptian army and destroy every last one of them. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. That sounds pretty dreadful, doesn't it? But if you were the one that they were coming after, and God did that for you, would that seem dreadful to you at that moment? You'd be celebrating, because you'd be on the other side. You'd be looking at the parted Red Sea, and you'd see the Egyptian army coming after you. You'd be thinking, "Oh God, what are you going to do now?" And push. And we saw them no more. God protected his people, displayed just a little portion of his power, his wrath on that Egyptian army. And you know what it did? It provoked God's people to song. Let's read the Song of Moses. Then Moses and the children of Israel sing this song. Again, this is Exodus chapter 15, starting verse 1. This song to the Lord, and spoke, saying, "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation." Is the Lord your salvation today? You should have a song on your heart then. Amen? Because he has protected you from the one who wants to destroy you. Praise the Lord. He has become my salvation. He is my God. And guess what? Just like it says here, I will praise him. Are you praising the Lord this morning? Praise the Lord. He is good. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Yahweh. He's the self-existing one. He doesn't need any of us. That isn't why he saves us. He's powerful. He is strong. He is completely self-sufficient. And he wants us to be blessed in his presence. Praise the Lord. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains are also drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. You know who Jesus is referred to in other areas of Scripture? God's right hand, his right arm. He is the one who carries this out. He is the God of great mercy, but he is also God who has all power. He is the God, same God, who will pour out wrath on those who are enemies. of him and of his people. In verse 7, and in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath. It consumed them like stubble. And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You, in your mercy, have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. Praise God, we are engrafted into that. Amen. We are the ones he has redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. The people will hear and be afraid. Sorrow will take hold of the inhabitants of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be dismayed. Edom represents the flesh, by the way. The axe and strength of the flesh will be dismayed. The mighty men of Moab trembling will take hold of them. All the inhabitants of Canaan will melt away. Fear and dread will fall on them by the greatness of your arm. They will be as still as a stone till your people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over whom you have purchased. You will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which you have made for you, for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. And this last line, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. Amen? The Lord shall reign forever and ever. What an amazing song that is referenced here. We only get this smaller portion, and I believe the smaller portion that we're reading in Acts or in Revelation 15 seems to be the song of the Lord. But they were also singing the song of Moses. Because you see, the song of Moses displays that God will, in fact, use his wrath to set his people free. On this side of the wrath of God, is ones who are children of God through Jesus Christ, his wrath protects us. Amen? But on the other side, his wrath will destroy. God's wrath will bring him glory. May the wrath of God be complete at the right time. You know, if we were, any of us were to feel even the smallest part of his wrath, it could destroy us in an instant, amen? That's how powerful our God is. Think about that. In an instant, he just closed up the sea. No more threat. You know, guys, they actually do find chariot wheels under the ocean there. It's for real. God really did it. And he's really going to do it, just like it shows in Revelation 15. Look at that. God is glorious through his judgments. God is glorious even through his wrath. In verse 5, back in Revelation chapter 15, we get back to the future event here. In verse 5, we see the temple is opened up to where we can actually see inside the temple up in heaven. After these things, I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. It was open for this moment that we see. And it will be in the future. We're getting to see it like it's already happened. It will happen. God's wrath will glorify him in the end because he is perfectly 100% justified. You know, our God is just. He is merciful, but he is just. The only way that he can pass over our sins is through Christ who paid for our sins. But if we will not receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, then the sins will happen. Be punished because he is a just God. He is perfectly truthful. He is perfectly right in everything that he does. And you see, we get to get this sneak peek into the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven to see this moment when this is going to happen. For us, it's in the future, but to God, it's like it's already happened because he will do it. And in this moment here, we get to see out of the temple came seven angels having the seven plagues, clothed in pure, bright linen and having their chests girded with golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls. And you know what? These bowls aren't just half full. These bowls are completely full. They are full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. Guys, what we got to understand is we need to take shelter in the Lord through Jesus Christ now. We need to live in that every day. We need to, and it's to be, remember we've been talking about that word eternity lately? We need to be thinking about eternity all the time. That needs to be how we make our choices. Not for the temporal, just the temporary. Nobody should, you know, we shouldn't be like putting all of our hope in something that's temporary, right? Because if we're putting all of our hope in something that's temporary, you know what? It's only temporary. But eternity is forever. And you know, so what we got to understand is they're handing over these seven bowls, and they are full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. But I want you to understand that even at this moment, God's glory is displayed. Look at what happens as we're getting the sneak peek into the temple there. The glory of God fills the temple. You see, as he's handing out, he's saying, it's time. My wrath's going out. We don't see that there's this horrible mourning over it. What we see is that there's a celebration over this in heaven because things are finally going to be set straight. Things are finally going to be done. Things are finally going to be done that's going to set forth the right path of destruction of wickedness once and for all. Man, I'm so tired of seeing the wickedness. Amen? I'm so tired of seeing, even in my own heart, the temptation to give over to wickedness. Can we say amen to that? Just imagine a time ahead of us whenever there won't even be a temptation to sin. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. But at this moment, as he's handing out these seven last bowls full of the wrath of God, these last plagues, we see that the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God, from his power. And no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. Do we ever remember a time in the Old Testament whenever God's glory filled the temple here on earth in such a way? It was actually when the temple was dedicated, that Solomon's temple was dedicated. He was being honored during that time, and we see that just kind of a preemptive thing to show us what it's like. God's glory filled the temple so much the priests and all of them just had they just had to not even try to be in there during that time. You know, God's glory is so amazing. God's glory is so beautiful. But I'm going to tell you, God's glory is overwhelming. He is so amazing that like, in this, he just so fills the temple that nobody was even able to enter in for just a time. It's like this time of anticipation of something that's going to be so great. I want to live so close to God that I'm just longing to be in his presence even when this wrath comes forth. You know, I had a friend that used to minister with a lot. His name was Brother Garland Parrish. And I love Garland. He's gone on to be with the Lord. He always had a really good way of putting it. He said, you know, Jesus is coming back. And then he would say, do you want, whenever he comes back, it's going to be like at a time when nobody expects. He says, do you want to greet him like this, like ready for a hug? Or he said, do you want to be living in such a way that when he comes back, you look like this? And you know, I think that's something we need to kind of keep in the forefront of our minds, don't you? The actions we choose to involve ourselves in, the things that we choose to involve ourselves in, if Jesus were to come back that moment, how would we feel about it? Now, I'm not talking about when, you know, receiving and losing your salvation here. You know, I'm not trying to put anybody in a place of doubt, but I'm just asking, how do you live your life? I mean, if you give your life fully to Christ, you're still going to make mistakes, but we need to live like really close to Jesus, where we're in short account with Him. Whenever we sin, we're asking God, show me so that I can repent, so that I can live close with You. I want to live close with You. Think about your life like that. Don't think about it so much as, boy, I hope I make it to heaven, even if I got to barely, you know, slip in by the skin of my teeth. That's a bad plan. That's a really bad plan. Let's just live so close to God that whenever He does appear, we're like this. Yes, there's my Savior. He's the one I long to be with. Let's live like that. Because I'm going to tell you, when the wrath of God comes, there ain't going to be no stopping it. It's going to happen. Let's be ready. Let's be like those ones who overcame, and they were up there singing, like ushering it in, glorifying God, until the glory of God became so overwhelming that even they couldn't get in there for a while. But I'll tell you, they longed to be with Him all the time. That's how we need to live. Let's live ready to be with Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we think about the scene that we're seeing in the Scripture, we can see that that is for real. It's going to happen. There's going to come a time when those seven last plagues are going to be displayed, and then they're going to be poured out, and then Jesus is returning with all of the saints that have already been raptured up to Him, and He is going to set up the millennial reign at that point. We can see that the destruction of the wicked is going to be so great that, as it shows us, it's like blood as deep as a horse's bridle for 200 miles. All those who come out and battle against Him, battle array to try to stop this from happening because they believe Satan lies, his lies and his deception, they're all going to end up being destroyed. Lord, help us to warn people now while there's time. Help us to be in a place where we are looking forward to Your return. Help us to understand that Your wrath is not something to just sit around and be dreaded. Unless we're not on the right side with You, then we should dread that. But once we are with You, we need to be working toward Your wrath being satisfied in the end. We need to be working toward people coming to know You as their Lord and Savior so that they will not suffer the wrath of God. Because it's for sure coming. Help us to be like those who were in heaven at the very beginning of this scene, singing out the song of Moses to You, saying, Your wrath is what protects us. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for displaying it in that Red Sea miracle, that the same God who parted the Red Sea, gave Him the dry land, is the same God who closed it up on the enemies of God. Destroyed them all. Because it reminds us we do have heaven to look forward to. Man, it's going to be good. It's going to be better than anything we can imagine. Because evil ain't going to be let into the hall. Praise Jesus. Help us to remember as well that there is a hell. It's for real. And it's going to be suffering. The wrath of God forever. Help us to warn people. Lord, bless us. If there's anybody here that needs to make a decision to follow You today, I pray that there would be the opportunity for them to confess their sins to You, trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Just say, Jesus, I want You to be my Lord. I'm tired of trying to do everything myself. I want to follow You. Help us, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all rise for the last song here.